look at some things that are very important, valuable for us to understand and grab hold to. We've been talking about these issues, and you kind of hesitate to go down this path, that we've been in. But we're going to continue in this path. So it's going to take some time for us to go through it. I'm going to be giving you scripture and trying to bring about the best understanding that I can to help you along the way as we're dealing with this subject. Is the world as we know it real? And we covered three particular areas that we've been dealing with. And we've covered one, we're in our second one, and we're in between. We've been touching here and there on the third one. And so we want to continue down this path and bring up these particular areas of Scripture for us to look at, because they're important. Now, I started sharing with you just different things. Go ahead and play the video first. This is something that we was able to spend some time this week fooling around with just a little bit. Hopefully this will, you can see it good enough. How many see that? Pretty amazing, huh? Okay. Who wants to take a guess on what that is? Except for the ones that was with me, you can't say it. My family can't say it. Yeah. Who wants to take a guess? What is that? A star. You're right. Now, what star? What star? Oh, we don't know that. We got the other one and stuff. Okay, so we don't know. Okay, so here we are in my yard with our camera. And we zoom out. And there it is. Okay? That's a star. You zoomed out so far, you can't even breathe. You got to just hold your breath. And we couldn't do that because the mosquitoes, we was... Because we did that at night, by the way. So we told Hannah to go inside. She came back with cans of stuff. But it helped. So anyway, that's us videoing a star. We're going to do some more stuff. Now the reason I'm telling you, I want you to see that. How many seen all, and it's hard to get the true colors. You got to see it on the computer. It really looks good. But it's all sorts of colors. And so it's different than what you've been told. Right? So the science tells us that our sun is a star. Our sun. Right? Which I believe is much, much closer than that star was. But we could argue those points. We don't have all the heavy equipment. We don't get to ride up there. Right? And get closer. We don't get to look through all of the big telescopes. Well, let me ask a question. Who do you think owns the largest telescope that we know right now? Who do you think owns it? Don't you raise your hand. All right. The Catholic Church. That's good. They own the largest telescope. Who wants to guess what the name of it is? Lucifer. They shouldn't even answer these questions. Because they get like pre-preached to at dinner time and lunch. I'm trying to ask the people that doesn't get pre-preached to. So the name of it is Lucifer. Isn't that kind of a weird name? Isn't it kind of weird that the church, the Catholic Church, owns the largest telescope in the world and the name of it is Lucifer? All right, where is it? Oh, boy. In America. No, it's not. It's not in Rome.
The Vatican.
It's, It's on Mount. What mount? What mountain? Mount Hermon. So there's some information for you to Google and stuff, okay? That's enough of that. All right, so, but I always wondered about that. What are they doing? What are they looking at? Why do they have it? Why do they own it? And you can't go in there. It's kind of this observation, but you can't only go so far, and then you can't go the rest of the way. So there's some things going on that we have to make sure we're thinking about. Now, in this particular part I was dealing with last week, was looking at the scripture on Matthew 7 dealing with building your house on a rock. I mean, you know, that's important. And that word there that we was dealing with as far as the foundation is themelio. And there's a difference between that. It's to be founded. It's to be on something solid. Solid. It's solid. But sand is shifting. And sand is made up of many particles. You can squeeze them together. How many has ever been on the beach? And you get sand that's dry. No water at all. It's just dry. How many has ever been? We were in Sarasota one time. And the sand is beautiful, white, sandy beach in Sarasota, Florida. And it was dry walking to the Gulf there. We was walking to it, but it was dry. And it was just like fluffy. You kick it like that. And it wouldn't even stick into you. It was just dry. But then you put a little water in it, and it kind of gets a little where you can kind of squeeze it together and make a shape. If you ever been on a beach, maybe you started making your sand castle or something, and it sticks. But how many of you know it's not permanent? As much as you might want it to be permanent, you say, man, look at what I did. It's not permanent. All it does is takes like a wave, one wave. What if a wave comes crashing right where you made your castle after you applied a little water to it? What happens when a wave comes with force? It's gone. Then it's flat. It's like you never started. You're going, wow. Well, he says, don't be a person who builds your life or your house on something that's shifting and always moving and is nothing solid. Well, that's what happens when you have ideas that don't match what God said. So if you do what God said, it's like it's solid. He said, you're like a wise man who builds his house on a rock, on the bedrock. Very important. So that's what we were looking at, going through that. But let's look at this particular part here in Matthew and see what happens with more of this. I went over some of this, but I want to cover some of this as review. So let's look at it together. I'm going to start here in Matthew 16, verse 13 through 18. When Yeshua came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim." Thou art Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. And Yeshua answered, now let's see his reply, because right now is a moment where Yeshua could help him here. Because if he's wrong, Yeshua would correct him being wrong. He would correct him. He would be correct. And so, and Yeshua answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." So he's telling him, you're blessed by what you said. And he knows he's blessed, he said, because flesh and blood did not reveal that to him. Watch what he says. "But my Father which is in heaven." But my Father which is in heaven. So where's the Father? In heaven. Right? And that's who revealed it to him. Then verse 18, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter." Now Peter is associated with a stone or a pebble, or some would say a rock. But let's look at the difference here. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock." That word rock there is Petra. When I was a kid growing up, they used to have a Christian rock band named Petra. That was their band. I mean, we thought, wow, that was close to the world as we got in music. When they come out and they let us listen to that, we went, man, we rocking now. Petra. They will, let me tell you, they will roll out too. So he says, "Upon this rock, this Petra, I will build my assembly." Now, here's where the Catholic Church in Catholicism takes this verse and says it's upon the first pope, which is Peter. He's the first pope. Upon this pope, we build the church. That's where they get that from. This Petra, this rock. Therefore, what they have started or established was what everyone must go under now. That's what that we submit to that leadership. Well, I want to tell you, they didn't. Christianity didn't start with this Peter's confession. Didn't start there. Nor was he talking about Peter himself being the rock. He wasn't talking about the person. He was talking about the fact that he spoke the truth. Upon this confession, upon which you just confessed that I am Messiah. He didn't say, "Oh, you got it wrong. I'm not Messiah." You said it, and you didn't get this from flesh and blood. Right? Now, what was Jesus talking to him? Was he spirit? Was Jesus spirit here? No, he was flesh and blood. And he says, flesh and blood did not reveal. I didn't tell you what to say. I didn't tell you to call me Messiah. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father told you this. So upon this rock, this Petra, this foundation, I will build my church, or the assembly will be built. And the gates of the grave, King James puts hell there. It's one of them issues in the King James that we don't know what they're talking about. Sheol, grave, hell, they can just kind of put them all together. But the word there is grave, shall not prevail against it. Think about it. Shall not prevail against it. So this is very important. So the word Petra in the Greek, it's a large rock or the bedrock. A large rock or a bedrock. Peter is pebble. We can look it up all day long. He ain't going to build nothing on a pebble. How many know what a pebble is? We don't deal much with pebbles here, but there's certain places that have a lot of pebbles. I mean, I've had a pebble. I'm not talking about cereal. How many's had the cereal pebble, whatever it is called?
Yeah,
fruity
pebbles.
What is it?
Fruity pebbles.
Fruity pebbles. Fruity pebbles. Fruity pebbles. Right? And what it's got, like different colors, and you put the milk in it, and they kind of get like Rice Krispies, right? Whew. Somebody, you've had them? Huh? That boy had pebbles this morning. So look, a pebble is something small, but the Petra is the confession. Remember that, upon this rock. So hopefully you'll see that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13 through 19 says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory." Now I'm going to be dealing with the glory. All this week I inundated myself with the glory, going back over to when you look into my glory, I found all sorts of new verses, new understanding of it. I'm telling you, it's powerful. That's what started all this anyway. And I really wanted to go right into that series. I was going to do it. I was debating. I said, "Lord, get control of my mind, because I'm out of control, Lord." Because I wanted to go right into that and said, just take a pause on this. But if I pause, I'm going to go off. I will never get back. So here we are. But I got this series on the glory that I'm redoing. Let me tell you, it's going to be the starter Anywhere I go. That's exactly what I'll be talking about. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Master Yeshua Messiah, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How many want to be strengthened in the inner man? That Messiah may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That word grounded is that same word we were dealing with. That you be grounded, founded. How many know the melio is very important? How many want to be grounded in something? You're going to get there because that Messiah may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth in length, in depth, in height, and to know the love of Messiah, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled, this is a very powerful statement, filled with all the fullness of Elohim. Think about that. Filled with all the fullness of Elohim? How is that possible? But he says, that's our goal. That's what we're aiming for. What are we aiming for? Filled with all the fullness of Elohim. Filled. How many's ever seen something filled? If it's full, can you put anything else in it? No, it's full. You can try, and what happens to the excess that you put in it? It just overflows. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But he was talking about something before that. My cup runs over. His cup runs over. So there's an excess. He's full and he just runs over. So hopefully you'll see how important it is to be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's our goal. There's no, I go to church, I'm feeling better about myself. You can kind of pull back and just kind of coast along. You should be constantly pursuing. You can't get enough. You want to read another verse. You want to pray. You want to seek the Lord. Have that drive because we're headed for filled with all the fullness of God. Colossians 1, 21, 23. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unapprovable in his sight. So watch this. Verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. There's that word, grounded. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the good news which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under the heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That word grounded, again, and settled. So very important to understand these terms. So what is he trying to do? Make sure that we're planted firmly upon the rock, the bedrock. If you do that, you're a wise man. And if not, you're a foolish man. So he's saying you have to be founded upon something. And that themelio is what we dealt with last week. These are the continuing verses that help us with that. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now he's telling us, there's no kidding here, the adversary is going to do his job. He said, you don't have to worry about that. Ain't nobody got to send a memo to the devil and say, hey, you didn't tempt me today. You ain't got to let him know. He's going to do his job. He's telling us, be careful. He's saying, be sober. How many know what it means to be sober? Don't be intoxicated with all the stuff in the world. Don't get overly involved and indulge yourself in the things that don't have your eyes peeled where you can't see clearly what the devil's doing. And I'm going to tell you honestly, the church is drunk with too much stuff. Just too much going on. They're not sober-minded. How many of you have ever been drunk? Like for real drunk. Okay? Can you tell there was a difference in how you responded? What was it? I mean, it was like, I've seen drunk people. You know, sometimes they come and tell you, but they're going away. I'll be there in a minute. It looks funny, don't it? Well, let me tell you, you got to be sober. Because if you're not sober and you're intoxicated with all kind of other things that you think really matters, you're not going to be, he says, be sober and be vigilant. You got to be on top of it. You got to be ready. Be vigilant because, he tells us why, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But, watch this, the Elohim of all grace, who had called us into his eternal glory by Messiah Yeshua, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Does it happen right away? No, it don't happen. He said, he's going to make you perfect. When you come get saved, you're not perfect after that. You're getting started, but he'll make you perfect. And then what he'll do? Establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. What you going to get settled on? The melio, the foundation, the bedrock. Why do we need that? Because stuff's going to come. How many of you have ever seen somebody get started in serving God? And let me tell you, you couldn't find them in the store, nowhere, in the ball field. It didn't matter where you saw them. They were going to witness to you. And they knew you was a Christian. They still was going to witness to you. Because they were in. And then all of a sudden, you met them one day. And they was a little intoxicated with something. Beyond their control. They couldn't figure out a way to get out of it. And their message went away. And they weren't established, they weren't strengthened, and they definitely wasn't settled. And they don't serve God no more. Well, how is that possible? He says, listen, if you're not sober and vigilant, you're going to be a main target for the adversary, the roaring lion. He's seeking, he's watching, and he's going to pick out the one that's not maintaining this status. You get overly involved to be drunken with all sorts of things and issues of people's going through. You can't be sober-minded. You just won't be. You won't think it through. You'll do things and you don't even realize you're doing it. How many of you ever done something you didn't even realize you were doing it? I've heard stories. People tell me, you know what? It was bad when I was out there doing my thing. I got home. I wake up. I don't even know how I got there. You don't want to do that in serving God, do you? I'm here. I made it back Sunday. I don't know how, but I made it. Let me tell you, I know exactly why I'm here today. Because that same God who took me out of the miry clay, that same one who loved me when I didn't know how he didn't love myself, that same one was with me all this week. He was with me. He was guiding me, directing me, establishing me, strengthening me, and settling me. I'm not thinking about quitting or giving up. Listen, you know what's sad? In this house right here, there may be somebody who's thinking about not, I don't know if I can go on. Can I tell you? That's not the plan of God for you. He wants to do what? Make you perfect. What did he want to do? Make you perfect. How did I start getting perfect? After you suffered a while. That's the part nobody wants. But guess what? That's exactly what's going to happen in everybody's life. You're going to go through some things. But after you suffered a while, and you know you've been through it, you say, God, you're still God. You'll never change, and I love you with everything that's in me. He said, I'll make you perfect. I'll establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. He'll put you on the bedrock. How many want to endure to the end? How many know we're not going to endure to the end unless we're on the bedrock? And to get on the bedrock, we got to go through that process. Everybody going to go through that process. Even Jesus went through that process. After he suffered a while, he was established, strengthened, and settled. There he was. And then God said, raise him up. And he raised him up. Amen? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. And thou, Yahweh, in the beginning, has done what? Who laid the foundation? Yahweh. When? In the beginning. So in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. How many see that they're interchangeable? Is Elohim and Yahweh interchangeable? We see that through the scripture. Elohim and Yahweh is interchangeable. And what else is it interchangeable with? The what? The Father. Remember that. The Father. Very important. And thou, Yahweh, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. I want to ask you this question. Who laid the foundation of the earth? What is the foundation of the earth? If it's floating as a ball in space that's a vacuum, where's its foundations? So I'm just telling you some of the things he did. We're going to get, because it's going to get really, really into the verses here that's going to explain to us exactly where you live. Where you live right now is going to tell you. Psalms 102, verse 25. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Of old, when you see that, of old, that's it's talking about something that happened a long time ago. So what happened a long time ago? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. And we'll get more detail on those. Now, how many believe this verse? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. How many believe this? Can we agree on this verse right here? All scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh. How many can agree on that? It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim may be perfect. Remember he's talking about, I'll make you perfect? He's going to make us perfect. Well, how is he going to do that? Well, he's going to do that by what? All scripture. Let me go back. He said, I'm going to make you perfect. After suffering, I'll make you perfect. Did he not say that? Then how is he going to do that? Or all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim may be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can we agree that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, prove all things. How many things should we prove? All things. Just prove all things and hold fast that which is good. What do you do with the rest? Don't hold fast. You prove all things and hold fast that which is good. But listen, proving all things is not just talking about good things. You hold fast what's good, but how many things do you prove? All things. Does that include everything about church and serving God and the Bible and all that? Yes. Does that include everything that the government says? Well, sure. We got to prove it. Said prove all things. So if somebody tells you that the earth is a spinning ball floating in space around the sun fast, how do you prove that? If you're supposed to prove all things, how do you prove it? Remember, we don't have that Lucifer thing. We don't have the capable means to look through. But, they kind of let out some of this stuff. And now you got cameras you can buy. That camera, we took that video of the star. And how many seen the one that showed last week of the moon? How we zoomed in. We were way away. We zoomed right into it. But now you got some technology. You can start... you can go out and do your own things. And that's what we've been doing. We've been testing it for ourselves and finding out that, wow. You do nothing, you go, wow. Well, there's something wrong here. Last week I told you about clipping turkey legs. We got to quit clipping turkey legs, right? Because what happens is you're just doing what everybody else said. And then we suffer from what? Cognitive dissonance. We know that there's something to this, but we know what we already believe, and they're kind of conflicting, so we're having this struggle go on. But how many things should we prove? All things. Right? Now, how many ever went to the doctor? Anybody's ever been to the doctor? And how many's ever been to the doctor, and the doctor says, I want you to take two of these twice a day? Anybody? You've done that. Now, how many know what that is in that bottle? It could be cyanide poison. You don't know. You didn't prove it. You went home and got you some water. He said two in the morning and two in the evening. You have no idea what it is. Right? But later on in life, you get a little smarter, right? We get a little smarter and we got computers. And so he prescribes something to you. Then you go home and you look it up. You look it up and you go, whoa, this will kill me. I only got that ache right here, but I'm going to have more than that ache if I keep taking this. How many's ever done that? Yeah, you've done that. You go and look it up. You say, so you go back to the doctor and say, Doc, did you see this? Well, he knew that, but that ain't his job to tell you that. His job is to get that product out there because the large pharmaceutical industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. And listen, if you take it, hey, it's on you. There you go. So that's what you're up against. But what does the Bible say to do? Prove all things. So somebody said, well, you just can't do that. Well, I would do everything I can to make sure I proved as much as I could. I'm not going to take the position, well, you can't do it, so I don't care. What else you want me to take, Doc? Give them to me. Send them my way. Don't do that. Prove all things. Research. We live in an information age. It's a blessing to be where we are right now. Right before the return of Christ, and we got access to be able to find out some stuff, right? You can go out there and do your own testing and find out that something's not right with what we've been told. And we don't want to just buy into it. So let's allow the Bible to speak for itself. How many want to take that on? We're going to allow the Bible to speak for itself. What it says, we'll let it speak for itself, and then we'll go from there. So I want to give you a challenge. Go out and do your own observation. Science is observation. You can observe it, you can test it, and it works. Scientism, on the other hand, is something different. Because you don't have to tell. You just got to believe what we say. We the smartest and you're the dumbest, and we tell you it's what it is, that's what it is. Right? So here's the deal. How many of you know that according to science, how many's ever heard of the guy by the name of Neil deGrasse Tyson? Don't raise, Philip raising his hand again back there. Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's a piece of work, I could tell you. He's one of them educated guys. Well, he says that basically we all stardust. So you came from a star. A star blew up somewhere and all the stuff. He said, and then he got his colleagues come alongside, and they'll say the same thing. They back each other up. One of his colleagues, I don't have the guy's name right here, but I'll get it for you. I was going to play a few clips today, but I knew we was going to do the mission stuff, so I didn't have the time. But one of his colleagues comes along and says, yeah, your left hand could be a part of one star and your right hand a part of another star. You know what that means, huh? We're just all mixed up. Well, anyway, I mean, folks believe this stuff. They just tell them this is what it is. But that's not what the Bible says. We're going to let the Bible speak for itself, what it says. Okay? Well, let's take it on. Scripture concerning the nature of heaven, sky above, and their relationship to the earth. Now, let's look at some of these. Job. Why do we start with Job? Because Job, on all accounts, according to the theologians, was probably the oldest literature that we have in the Bible. It was written before Moses wrote Genesis 1. Okay? So it's the oldest literature we have, Job. So let's look at it. In verse number 5 of Job 9, it is God who removes the mountains. They know not how. When he overturns them in his anger, who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. Who can make the earth shake and tremble out of its position, the pillars tremble. Now notice what he's saying about the earth. Verse 7, who commands the sun not to shine. Wow. And sets a seal upon the stars. A seal upon the stars. Remember that star we looked at? That wasn't some video we captured somewhere. That was what our camera, our Nikon, what is it, Nikon 900? The Coolpix 900, man, that thing would just zoom in. It seems like you go, wow. So, but he said it's a seal upon the stars. Who alone stretches out the heavens and tramples down the waves of the sea. What did he do to the heavens? He stretched out the heavens. To stretch out the heavens, he's talking about to stretch it out like a curtain. Mm-hmm. Like you would do a curtain. He stretched out the heavens. Job 22, verse 14. Thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. He walketh in the circuit. The word is chug there. He walked in the circuit of heaven. Look at it in a Holman's Christian Study Bible. Clouds veil him so that he cannot see as he walks on the circle of the sky. In the American Standard Version says, thick clouds are a covering to him so that he seeth not, and he walketh on the vault of heaven. The vault of heaven. It's interesting. Job 26, verse 7. He stretched out the north over the empty places and hangeth the earth upon nothing. And that's what folks will see. There you go, you see. It is a ball spinning in space because he hangs the earth on nothing. They take that verse, that single verse, for those who are trying to take the Bible. If you want to use the Bible to prove that we are on a heliocentric spinning ball moving in a solar system in an not so important galaxy, because there are many of them. That's one of the verses that's used. He hangs the earth on nothing. We'll come back and deal with that later. Verse 8. He binds up the waters as a thick cloud, and the clouds is not rent under them. He holds back the face of his throne and spreadeth out his clouds upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds. He did what? He compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. He's dealing with the horizon there. Now, how many know horizon is perception? How many understand that? Horizon's perception. It's your perception. And because you see something go out of your perception, and we call that what? The horizon. Is that the end of the horizon? What if you just stopped right there where you seen it go out of your perception, and then you was able to travel in a second back to the spot you seen it go down? What would happen? It's not the end. It's the end of what you can see. How many understand that? But that's not what he's dealing with here. He encompassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. He sets that position and puts that order in place. Is it hard for us to get our mind wrapped around? You better believe it is. But here's what the word says he done. Until day and night come to an end. Verse 11. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divided the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smited through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, and his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Job 37, verse 18. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten looking glass? Because this is his conversation with Job, right? And Job's friends giving him some advice on what to tell God and talk to him. And he said, don't listen to them. because they have not spoken right about me. Now, Job's friend didn't speak right about the Most High. So this is what his conversation, he says, "Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten looking glass?" The sky is strong as a molten looking glass. Think about that. The Ezekiel verses that we'll read later on in this talks about that glass, that crystal glass. How many of you ever heard that there's going to be crystal glass dealing with heaven? Anybody ever come across that? We'll be looking at that later in this. Now look at day one. "In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. And Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day. The darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Day two. And Elohim said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And Elohim made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so. And Elohim called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." Now, day one and day two, look at the verses that go along with that particular reading. In Genesis 7, verse 11 says, In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the deep broken up. So the fountains of the deep were broken up. So we showed you the Hebraic cosmology. We deal with the fountains of the deep. The waters are separated. Now we got waters above and waters below. So we know that he separated that. So he says the fountains of the deep were broken up, but watch this. And the windows of heaven were open. We're dealing with the flood here. There's a flood happening. And so we got fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven are open. And we got water pouring in, water coming from below. And now we got the atmosphere that's so moist, clouds. We got rain and storms and thundering and lightning. There's a lot going on. But where'd the water come from? Fountains of the deep, windows of heaven. Think about that. Very important. Genesis 8, verse 2. "The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained." So he says he started them, then he stopped them. Isn't that something? Can you imagine water coming from heaven? Now, I don't know how high that is, but it's higher than I've ever been. Now, if I took some water in a jug and I poured the water real slow out the jug, real close to the ground, I probably wouldn't dig a big trench in the ground. But if I took the jug up here and I poured it, just the velocity and the pressure of the water constantly pouring, what would happen? I could change the shape. I can make a trench with water. How many know that's possible? Well, could you imagine water coming from heaven? Not rain. This is open windows of heaven, and this is just a pouring of water from below and above. What kind of change would happen to what God created to begin with? So we did have a change. Now, the scientists say that all of this change happened over billions of years. Billions. It's hard to get your mind wrapped around that. Billions of years it happened. That's how we got those changes. That's not what the Scripture teaches. And all we're doing right here is letting the Scripture say what it says. Yes. So hopefully you'll see that. 2 Samuel 22, verse 8, "Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth." What makes the foundations and stuff shake? Because of God's wrath. That's what makes, because he always describes the earth as something fixed, not moving, firm. It's all firm. It's a foundation. Psalms 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." The firmament. Remember he said in that reading, he made a firmament. How many firmaments did he make? It says he made a firmament. Last time I checked on a firmament, that was one. Think about that. So just say we got a firmament now. And we got the water separated. You can see this ongoing creation of the Father as he's doing all the things that he's doing. Very important. Psalms 29 verse 10, and the Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. He did what? He sitteth upon the flood? Well, this is 1,500 years after the flood, Psalms here. Yes. This is to David. This is 1,500 years after, and the Lord still sits upon the flood. So there goes your whole, what's his name? Ken Hovind and the bow guy. What's his name? Y'all remember? The creationist guy. Ken Hovind and I can't think of his name. It's Bo or something like that. He's creation scientist. Well, anyway, he does that. He had that creation museum. I can't think of his name. But anyway, they said it was an ice canopy, right? Yeah. And an ice canopy was there. And what happened was when God flooded the earth, when Noah's flood, that the ice canopy had some collision caused by God, and it melted the ice canopy. Here comes the rain. Here comes the flood. We've got a world flood, right? Well, then what David's talking about here? Because the ice canopy's gone according to their model. Now, they're creationists. They believe in the six-day creation just like I do. But they got some things wrong there because they're not dealing with the fact that not in one place but two places for sure that the Psalms dealing with a flood, a water that's after 1,500 years after, which is above. Who's sitting upon the flood? The Lord sitteth king forever. Where's his throne? Above the first. He sits on that. Understand the separation of that. Psalm 78. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. So where's that came? Where did that come from? From heaven. It's a heavenly thing, and God produced all of those things by opening up what? The windows of heaven. Psalms 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covered thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. Notice that. How did he do it? He stretched out the heavens like a curtain. So imagine this. He's making this firmament. Let there be a firmament. So he stretches it out like a curtain. And he sits upon his throne, sits upon there. Who laid the beams of his chamber in the waters. The beams of his chambers are laid in the waters. Who maketh the clouds his chariot. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind. It's all amazing stuff, isn't it? Now watch Psalms again. 1,500 years later. Psalms again. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters above the heavens. Notice that. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. So I believe, just as Psalms believe, that we still have waters above and below. There's still waters. So when you look up outside and you look up in the sky, and when it's clear, there's no clouds, what do we say? Man, that sky is blue. It's not brown. It's blue. Can you imagine you're looking up into that blue sky, and above that, straight above, there he is. The Most High sits on the rakia. That firmament word is rakia, and we'll deal with that later on in the lesson. Proverbs 8:27, and when he prepared the heavens, I was there. This is about wisdom. When he set the compass, chaket, the compass upon the face of the depth, the face, the chug. So he's talking about in this creation, he's given us, this is good information because you don't get this in Genesis 1. But he's telling us more details about it. He says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass. How many have ever used a compass? Who's in Catholic school? Use the compass. What do? You put one point down as a point and kind of sticks in there. And then there's a pin. So what do with it? You can make a what? A circle. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Wisdom said, I was there when he did that. How incredible that is. Upon the face of what? The deep. So he starts at a starting point and he just makes a circle. Proverbs 8:27, and when he established the heaven, I was there. When he inscribed, this is the ESV version, when he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. He inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. Isaiah 13:13, therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. I will shake the heavens and the earth will remove out of her place. Wow. Thought we was moving all the time. Isaiah 40:22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Think about that verse. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. There it is again. And spreadeth them out like a tent to dwell in. How many of you have ever seen a tent or put up a tent? You put up a tent and you start and you're gonna stretch that tent out. Right? That's what he's saying he did. He's describing the method that he used, what was some of the things he was doing when he's designing and doing everything that he's doing. But watch what he says. It's he who sits on the circle. How many know there's a difference between a circle and a ball? And how many know the Hebrew distinguishes those two as being two different words? Now, if it would have been a ball, he'd have used ball here. He sits on the ball. Then we end the story. Let's just hang on. We're flying through space. Baby. But I submit to you, that's not what he said. Right. It's he who sits on the circle. Mm-hmm. Who drew the circle? Well, he did. Mm-hmm. And he sits on the circle. Yes. On what? The rakia. Mm-hmm. Remember that, because what is the rakia? And we're going to talk, we'll answer that in just a little bit. Okay? He spread it out, and he stretched out the heavens as a curtain, spread them out as a tent to dwell in. He's just describing what he just did. Genesis 1, we read it, but he's telling us in detail throughout the scripture how that happened. Isaiah, the ISV, he is the one who sits above the disk of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshopper. He's the one who stretched out the heavens like a curtain and spread them like a tent to live in. Isaiah 44:24, thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Notice that. Who is with him? He said he's by himself. Now, if somebody calls you on the phone and say, you by yourself? Yeah. And then they hear somebody in the background, they're going, who's that? Well, I got company over. Well, I just asked you if you was by yourself. You said, yeah. How many understand what by yourself means? Right? Is that the angels giggling in the background? No, I told you I was by myself. I understand what by myself means. How many understand that? Now, folks want to argue about that, but he said by himself. That's what I'm going with. Isaiah 45:12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded. Is that clear? He's just telling us, he says, I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded. Wow. Isaiah 48:13, mine hands had laid the foundations of the earth. My right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. He's a master designer here. If we just take the Lord's word, we see what he's saying. This is an amazing thing that he's pointing out to us that he's done. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. How does he describe the earth? As a footstool. Now, nobody here wants a footstool that's a ball. Right? Well, he says that the earth is his food. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Ezekiel 1:26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was like the likeness of a throne. Now think about this. As the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above it. Above, upon it. In Amos 9:6, and I'll give you several versions here, it is he that buildeth his stories in the heavens and founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth, the Lord is his name. Yahweh is his name. The ASV, it is he that buildeth his chambers in the heavens and founded his vault upon the earth. He calleth forth the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Jehovah is his name. ESV, it is he that buildeth his chambers in the heavens and had founded his vault upon the earth. And it just goes on. Darby's version, it is he that buildeth his upper chambers in the heavens and had founded his vault upon the earth. And so I pointed out these different versions. NSAB, the one who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and had founded his vaulted dome over the earth. Goes a little bit into it. Vaulted dome? Really? So hopefully that didn't bore you too bad. Some of you look bored. I just look at you and you do. You look bored. I'm just giving you the scripture. I tell you, it's going to bog down. It's a lot of scripture. Why I'm giving them to you? Because it's my job to give you the scripture. Go home, get you some whatever gets you going, and go back over them. Because we're dealing with something that we need to understand. So let me just do this. Why do I give you the scriptures? Okay. So where do we live? Who believes that somehow we don't know the truth about the place we live? This is kind of open discussion now. All right? Who believes right now, based on what you know, by your own research, that you're living on a spinning ball, floating around space, moving at the speed that you've been told? Who here believes that? Well, I believe that. I did believe that. Right? Because that's what I know. Now, if I read the Bible itself, just the text, who sees that in the text? Who sees that that's what whatever NASA says is exactly where you're at? Because what's taught in the school? What's taught in the school? Heliocentric, meaning the sun is the center of the solar system. And the planets, and the earth being one that has life, and we spin around the sun, and then we move in through the universe at a very high rate of speed into whatever. Because it's just going, there's nothing, into nothing. And there we go. It's called ever-expanding universe. It's expanding. Like right now it's a certain size, and like right now it's a certain size. And now it's bigger. Because it's ever-expanding. Or is it geocentric? Meaning the earth is the masterpiece. God talks about what he did to the earth, how he built it. And then he says, let there be two great lights. And he makes the sun and the moon. Do you see? There's a difference. So far as what I know, in my research, I believe that we've been lied to. And we got to stop the nonsense. And somebody would say, well, what does this have to do with being saved? It may not be a salvation issue on how you get saved, but it could be an issue on how you stay saved. Because if you continue down a path of nonsense, even though you know about salvation, you can be overcome by the lies. And the Bible says if you believe a lie, your soul will be damned. So we have to make sure that we know what the truth is and not be afraid. Well, let me tell you, it's hard for me. I'm a small town bayou boy to come up against NASA. Who do I think I am? Well, I'm not the only one. There's people all over that's coming to this understanding, and it's coming at an alarming rate. And some people call it flat earth theory. How many's ever heard that term? Let me see your hand. If you ever heard the theory called the flat earth theory? All right, who spent over 1 hour researching flat earth? 1 hour. You've spent 1 hour, at least 1 hour. Let me see your hand. Keep your hands up. At least 1 hour you spent researching flat earth. If what is all this, blah, blah, blah. All right? Who spent a week researching it? Let me see your hand. A week. A week's time. A week meaning you gave at least several hours of every day of that week researching it. All right? Who spent a month researching it? It means a month. In a month's time, you gave so many hours a month researching it. What about a year researching it? You gave so much time of researching it for a year. Think about it. It takes time to get through all the junk. How many of you know there's a lot of junk? It takes time. And there's psyops and everything. You just got to watch. So what do? You pray and say, God, I want to know what's the right thing. Let me tell you what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the earth is geocentric, meaning it's the center, it's the masterpiece. It's God's perfect creation. And trouble has come on God's creation based upon man's sin, not angel sin. Man's sin. Because of one man, the Bible says, sin entered, not angel sin. Hopefully I close that gap and we don't have to go down that path again, because it's man that sinned that brought the chaos, not angel sin. Because of one man, death entered. And that's been passed on. But how many of you know that there's another man? It's called the last Adam or the second Adam. It says the first one, we have death through him. But the second one, we have life through him. Isn't that amazing? So what I see is the master plan of God. I see God restoring this, his entire creation. He'll restore it back. He's going to put it back like it's original. Now, we can only look at Scripture to know what it was to been like. But here we are. So who can wrap this the mind around this? We live in an enclosed system. Like, what was that? There was a movie came out about that a couple years ago. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, The Truman Show. How many's ever seen that? The Truman Show, right? Pretty funny. This guy, this little baby, if you ever seen, you never get it, you get I think you could rent it still or something. But The Truman Show, the reason they make shows like this is to throw it up in your face, because here we are. We're the silly Christians singing Amazing Grace and, you know, helping the poor. They have no clue what's going on. We're robbing everything from them. They can't even figure out God, because we done made it sound like they're living on an insignificant planet, in an insignificant solar system, in a small galaxy amongst the trillions of galaxies. So they're really not that big a deal. They're just like a stardust, like a speck. They're not that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that by God's design, you're valuable and you're important. And if just because man sins, God don't quit and start over. Yeah. He says, I'm a build this relationship back. And that's what we see. We see that happening. And that ought to spark your interest to find out the truth. And the question is this. I asked this question last week. Why would they lie? Why would they lie? What's the point in lying? Can I tell you the point in lying is to make you realize that God's not that big a deal. He's really not that big a deal. So get over your whole religious jargon and all your Christian singing and all that and get with the real world. It's not that big a deal. We're all going to live and die and another generation will come and they'll keep going. That's not what the scripture teaches. There's an appointed time for everything. He tells us that. And hopefully that you and I will don't quit on it. Do your own research and find out that it's impossible to be what has been said. Impossible. This is just based on my own research for the last couple years. This is stuff that I looked at and observed for myself. It's impossible. So hopefully that you'll see that and you'll take the initiative to show some interest in it. Now I can continue. I can give you the other 400 verses that go along with describing what God talks about when it deals with the earth. Because there's a lot of verses. It's not just one or two. It's all over. And not one time, can I tell you, not one time did he describe what he made as a ball that is spinning in some insignificant universe. He never talks about it. To me, why wouldn't he tell us? But he does tell us it's immovable. He's the only one can make it rock and roll. Nobody else. Think about it. Let me tell you, if man can blow it up, we'd have blew it up already. Because that's how man is. I'm telling you. They want to just, even if they die in it, they want to say, I've defied God. I blew the planet up. You can't blow up what God made, nor can you get out of it. We can lie and tell you we got out of it, but you can't get out of it. You can't get what God's enclosed. If he enclosed, you're in it. I mean, the only thing we got to wait on is a redeemer. The return of the Lord. When he returns, you know what he says? I'm going to roll back the heavens like a scroll.
Hallelujah.
Are you ready for this? I'm going to let you out. There'll be no separation anymore. We'll be right there. And that's when the New Jerusalem, the holy city, there'll be nothing disconnected anymore. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine living in a perfect environment? Perfect. The lion will lay with the lamb. So they want you to think it's none of that's possible. They're trying to hide God by putting him somewhere else. When the Bible says he sits on the vault that he made, he looks through the crystal glass. He looks through it. And we're like grasshoppers in his sight. He's right there. So next time you call out to the Lord, just know he's right there. He can hear you. He's watching us. He watches everything that's going on. And there'll be a day, a payday for everybody. So hopefully you'll take some interest in looking at this. We'll continue to give as much information as we can as we go through this. But I wanted you to see how valuable this is to us. It's valuable to all of us that we grab hold to these principles. They're so important. And so if you have any questions concerning this or any concerns, I would love to point you in a direction that can help you relieve some of those. I know it's a big deal. It's a big deal to think that you lived on a ball all your life and to find out that you're not living on a spinning ball. People say, where are we living? I just don't get this. I'm going to tell you, take some time, match scripture with what science says. Is there good science? Absolutely there is. It's good science. It could be proven. It's a fact. But there's also this pseudoscience that's destructive. And that's what most of the world drives on, is pseudoscience. So students in school, you're going to have a class, and they're going to say, here it is. And you're going to say, uh-uh. And they're going to go, oh, boy, But that's good. It's a good debate. That's what it's supposed to be. How many of you know that good science is something you should be able to debate and talk about? But the moment you get told, you got to believe this because you're dumb and we're smart, that's an issue. Right? Same thing with the scripture. You can take out of the scripture whatever you want. You can debate the scripture, talk about it, but at the end of the day, you better hope you believed in what's correct. Very important. Remember in our Torah portion, Luke?
Yes.
24? Remember that. It's a very valuable lesson. I was going to open with that this morning. And I said, well, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Luke 24. Two men going to Emmaus. Disciples, they're on their way to Emmaus. They're discouraged. They don't know what to do. And Jesus comes alongside of them and starts talking to them. And he listens to them. Man, they have done. They're finished. What's the point? We thought he was the one. We're going to be relieved of all this trouble. And he figures out, you know, Jesus says, wow, these guys right here, they're about to give up. So instead of him going, they said, why don't you just stay? We've been walking together. Why don't we eat together? And he stays. And then what happens? He begins to relay back to them what? Scripture. What did he give them before? A lie? No, he gave them the same scripture. But what did he go back over? Scripture. Because that's what you're going to have. So what are we doing here? We're going back through scripture. Because it don't take long. You could get discouraged in your walk. You can say, well, it just doesn't make sense. You know, scientists tell us this. We don't know what to believe. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to try to behave and be a good person. And that's not what God's looking for. He's not looking for you to go to church and be a good person. He said, I want to make you perfect. I want to complete you. I want you to have a voice. I want you to be salt of the earth. I want you to be the light of the world. I want you to be the person I designed you to be. By faith, we're already living in a kingdom way. We should be speaking with a kingdom voice by faith. One day it'll be made real to us, but right now we have to love we have to trust him that what he said is a fact. So what did Jesus do? He gave him back the scripture. He started with Moses, he expounded through the scripture, and then he gave him the bread. And what happened? The eyes opened. They go, wow, he is here. This is him. This is him. He really is risen. So how is it they could be his disciple and not come to the full truth? Because of the lies that were all around them, they were discouraged. Can you imagine? Yep. You remember that guy? That one that they was calling Messiah? He's dead. He couldn't have been the Messiah because he's dead. And here they are. Yeah, but you know, we thought he was the one. Then he comes alongside. That's what's happening right now. If you want to know where we are prophetically, the Lord's coming alongside of us and he said, this is what my word really says. The rest of the stuff is nonsense. Now, let me tell you, you're going to be called crazy. I'm already dead. I mean, some of you think I've lost my mind. I come up in here and talked about Christmas and Easter and all that. And you went, oh boy, pastor done flipped out. Then I come and tell you the earth is flat. I'm a crazy man. Huh? You said, let me tell you, I just rather tell you how Jonah got eaten by the whale. We all go home and get Daniel out of the lion's den and be happy. But that ain't going to help you in the end. So I'm here to tell you the truth. Amen? So I know this is cutting edge, radical. Nobody wants to do this. Why am I having to do it, Lord? That's how I cry anyway. I don't want to do it, God. Let somebody else do it. And I could teach in any section of Scripture, we could teach it, but that's not what God wants. He wants you to know the truth. And you say, wow, why does this matter? It matters to God. It matters to God. So take some time, would you? Do some research. Go out there and go outside and do some observation. Who wants to do some observation? Well, guess what's happening? What's coming up? What's coming up? Feast? The moon is what right now? It's going to go dark here. It's going to go dark, and then it's going to have what? The first little silver. All those things can be observed. It's just simple. You just got to take some time and go observe it. These things can be looked at. Take some time to do that. Next time you're out and the moon's out at the same time the sun's out, I want you to sit down, get your Coke or whatever you drink, water. I don't want to say Coke. That's tempting my wife. We're trying to get her free. We're trying to liberate her from the Coke. So she said, I'm offering y'all Coke, but not her. Get you some water, whatever you drink. And you sit there and you look and you go, okay, the moon's there. Daytime, it's plain day. And the sun's there. And obviously I think we must be here. Because I'm standing on it. Now, what part of this that I'm standing on is making that shadow? Impossible. Just observation. That's how science. You can observe it. And you can test it. And it doesn't make sense. So do it. Just take the time and you do it. We've been doing that. Now we do it all the time. We out in the bayou. We all like, what in the world is going on? They are liars. Because I didn't come up with that. Remember, you were told that from this high. The first time you've seen it spin in the classroom, you've been told that your whole life. The Bible says something different. So take some time to look at it. Do it yourself. And just start questioning. Question. You want to question God? Question everything you've been told in your life. Find out. You'll see. Okay? I love you. I thank God for you. I kind of knew he was going to get to this spot. Where it's kind of going, wow, you know, I don't know. Leave it up to you. Here we are. But I'm going to continue down this path, finish this teaching. I've got to get on the next part is the Trinity. That's going to be fun. But I will be on that next part. That's the third thing. So it takes a little while to do it all. But I will give you as much information as I can. If you have any questions, please ask. We're going to give you as much information as we can. Well, let's remember the announcements. If you want to adopt a family, sponsor a family, and the